Yes, y'all. Welcome into episode 132 of the Dumb Marks Podcast. It's your boys, your favorite Saturday brunch bunch at it again. Gentlemen, how we living? How we feeling? How's everybody been?
Good, good. Feeling good this week. Not too bad today.
Chris, nice to see you back on the pod. You returned from Cali. You done posting food pictures and everything else?
No, but that'll continue.
All right.
At least I made it back from Cali, but we'll get into that a little bit later on in the show.
Yeah, I was gonna say, how was the trip home and that, but we can touch on that later if you want to get into those details, so to speak. So yeah, we're here at it again every Saturday morning live, like we do, breaking down everything in pro wrestling, giving our Mount Rushmore of the week, Jabroni of the week, got a little game lined up, but. I got a general topic question before we get into Mount Rushmore's and that. So this week, AEW Dynamite was in Pittsburgh. I went to the show live.
How was it live?
Well, that's my general question.
Okay.
Because coming out of the show, hopping on online and seeing the reactions, I saw a lot of mixed bag stuff as far as the show itself, some of the segments of the show, whether or not people enjoyed it, liked it, watched it. So who watched it live on Wednesday?
I did.
Okay. So for Donald and Chris, overall, watching it live Wednesday on TV, thumbs up, thumbs down, in the middle, how would you rate the show as compared to how it has been the past couple weeks?
Thumbs up for me.
In the middle for me. There was some stuff I like. We'll say there was the majority of stuff I didn't like, then most of the stuff I like.
Yeah.
So I'm right down the line.
How did the show come across on TV?
I thought the crowd came off really good on TV.
The crowd for like Brit segment and all that stuff, Warlow, they were popping, but it just seemed like it was a little layback.
How was the crowd? Because it looked like to me that they didn't have anybody up top.
No, so this is AEW's been here four times. I've gone to all four shows. This was as close to a sellout as the first Rampage. Like the arena was full. Even the upper, they had people around the hard cam side. We sat opposite the hard cam. Like, it was full in there.
Okay.
And majority of the night, the crowd was live and into it, enthusiastic. You know, there were some dead spots initially, like when the opening segment happened with the promo with the pillars. But from the Ring of Honor taping, which they did before Dynamite, then Dynamite, and then Rampage after, spoiler alert, I won't ruin Rampage for tonight, but there was one incident during Rampage which I will touch on as part of my issue with people during the week. But literally the entire time the crowd was into it. Didn't feel like it was too much of a drop off. Everybody enjoyed the show. Everybody stayed. The last time I was there, Dynamite was over. Majority of the crowd left for Rampage.
Mm-hmm.
This time, everybody stayed.
Gave it a better feel then.
Yeah, gave it a better feel for sure. I don't know how it will come across, you know, with tonight's episode. I'm going to tune in and watch it just to see. Rampage comes on tonight at 10 o'clock, I believe. Tonight. Yeah. So, but no, it was a blast. Like, AEW Live. And that was my biggest takeaway. Going to the show live, it's a completely different vibe and feel than watching it on TV.
Oh, I bet.
100%. Yeah. Like, it's night and day almost.
Especially if you have a hometown person.
Yeah. And even if I was in a different city and went to a show live, like, I think the experience would still be the same, regardless of it being in Pittsburgh with Britt and Wardlow and that.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that the product has such a different feel live than on TV, I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I kind of WWE too at times. Like, there's been times whenever I'm not enjoying the product and I go to a live show, and that kind of energizes it a little bit because it feels different being there live than just watching it on TV.
But you know, like in the beginning when AEW first started, like those crowds, no matter where you went, like you felt that on TV. You know what I mean? And I don't know if it's just because time's gone on and they've gone to different cities and different areas, or it's just the natural evolution of being on TV every single week for 3+ years now, to where you don't always get that same energy. Like it doesn't carry through the TV all the time, each and every single week, which I thought they did that in the very beginning, maybe because it was something new and different and an alternative to WWE. But I was really curious to see how you guys thought the show came off on TV, because live it was enjoyable. I had a great time. Great seats, great energy. People were awesome. There was a drunk guy that got thrown out, of course. So of course. Go figure. Yeah.
I think that's every city. There's got to be somebody there, you know. Yeah.
So
was it best friends guy? Was it
best friends guy? No. It was a dad with his wife and young son, and the dad had one too many, like to the point where Rampage hit and my man was swaying up against the guardrail. He tried to get involved with, I forget what match it was, but he tried to get involved and go up and touch the wrestlers, and that was it. They yanked him.
Yeah.
They yanked him after that, and there was a "he's too hammered" chant as the police were escorting him out. So I'd be curious if that comes across TV later, because I thought that was a well-timed chant by the crowd.
Yeah, they might have had time to edit that out. So
yeah, I was going to say they took that out in post-production.
Drinking that iced tea.
One too many of them.
Yeah, and then he had on these pants. I don't even know what they were. Like, I don't know if they were like hunting pants with like. I don't know. It looked like he was out there hunting pheasant. I have no idea, but my man was. Yeah. It was one of those for sure. Like they had somebody from the arena. I don't know if it was somebody from the arena staff or if it was somebody from AEW staff, but like they came over and there were some young kids that sat in front of them with their parents and that, and they came over and gave them free t-shirts and stuff like that for the inconvenience and all that, which was cool. I thought that was a nice gesture. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, the dude wasn't overly rude. He wasn't yelling, shouting, screaming, nothing like that. It was just, yo, you're that hammered.
Yeah. You know, and with your family there. Like, come on now.
Yeah, with your family. Like, and then what was even crazier was walking to the arena once we parked, like, there were people that were tailgating. And I'm like, yo, you're tailgating for a Dynamite? Like, I've never seen that before.
I was going to say, I haven't seen that yet down there either.
Mm-hmm. I can get maybe like a big pay-per-view, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like Rumble, Mania, Double or Nothing. Like, you get there early, you're tailgating, right? No, these dudes were tailgating like it was a Steeler game. They had the speakers on.
The music.
Yeah, like
Judas blasting on the speakers.
What are we doing right now? Like,
there was at least one terrible towel there.
So, and official one.
I was gonna say they were giving out. It looked like they were giving out the brick towels again. So
yeah, so it's nice when you go to a show and you run into one of the ushers that works there that you know, and they swipe up a brick towel and give it to you at the end of the show as you're walking out. So I don't need to pay for those top line seats to get the added benefits. So I walked.
We away don't get those nice, perks.
Yeah, I walked away with a nice DMD Britsburg towel. Nice. It was a good show. It was a good night. Enjoyed it overall. Tony Khan came out, thanked the crowd. Said Pittsburgh's one of their best cities. They enjoy coming here. They like the vibe when they come here. And it's like, all right, well then if you enjoy it so much and because they have been back here 4 times, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it is one of the cities in their rotation.
Yeah.
And you, like, he put over the Pittsburgh crowd. with AEW. And a lot of the talent that came out that talked, or, you know, like Dasha Gonzalez was the ring announcer, so she was chatting in between matches and stuff like that, commercial breaks and whatnot, put over the crowd. It's like, all right, you guys are putting us over that much. Give us a pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't just bring me dynamites. I want a pay-per-view. So whether or not they don't have the arena in Pittsburgh to run for a pay-per-view, and that's the problem, because WWE has PPG Paint, and that's, you know, realistically the only other big arena in town.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why we can't get a pay-per-view, but yeah, give me a pay-per-view, Tony Khan. You're listening. We need one here in Pittsburgh. We've showed up, showed out each and every single time you've been here. So bring a pay-per-view.
Hey, just tell them forget the paint and get Heinz Field. <You know? laughs> WWE can have paints. We got something bigger in mind.
speaking of Heinz Field, I did see my favorite sign of the night was MJF. MJF eats Hunt's ketchup. That was my favorite sign of the night. So if you're from Pittsburgh, you know there is no other ketchup but Heinz. If you eat anything else but Heinz, you're really not from here. So here we go.
At least it ain't about me.
Yeah, I was gonna say I lost the bet. Ty, we had a bet. I lost the bet. I said, how long before Taquan mentions that Jason is wearing Mr. T on his shirt? And immediately goes in for that, and yeah, I lost the bet. So, it is what it is. But no, good episode, good vibe, good energy, good time.
I wish I would have. I'm glad I didn't go because I was still tired from traveling. But like, I watched the show. And I was just, you know what? I was like, even though whenever we first talked about going, I wasn't really feeling AEW at that time, so I didn't want to go. But you know. I thought the show was good. I would have enjoyed it if I would have went.
I can't see the chat messages right now. I don't know why. So I can't get these. I'm only shut up, fool. I'm only seeing what gets put up on screen. I don't know what's happening right now on my end of things. But so y'all. I don't know who wants to run the chat, Chris or Donald. It don't matter. But yeah, so it was a good time, good energy, good vibes. Busy week, pro wrestling. I think that, you know, the weekend started off with new. The week actually started off with New Japan Saturday, Impact on Sunday. I enjoyed Impact show a lot. We can touch on that later, because they made a move that was, in my estimation, relevant, and hopefully can help elevate Impact up a notch. But where you guys want to go? Mount Rushmore. Who wants to get it started?
Rhea in leather pants.
That's it. That's all you need, huh?
Yeah, that's it. It's the week.
That's my week.
That's a different show. We're not doing that right now. But we'll set that up for a Patreon episode once we actually get a Patreon account. but yeah. All right, Rhea in leather pants. That's what you got. Nothing else from the week.
I'll go. Her and Solo stare down too. I'm just interested to see where that goes. I want to see that match, but I want to see wherever that goes. Just.
You just want to see Rhea just fight anybody, right?
I was gonna say, anytime Rhea does one of those stare downs, we all sit there and say, like, oh, we gotta see this match. So they like to tease it, they just don't like to deliver on it.
I thought that was excellent on Monday night. I thought Heyman was tremendous. You know, leaning in. Hey, can you change spots with Solo? And then as soon as he moves, Rhea just switched with Finn, and I was like, this is great. Mommy is definitely over, to say the least.
And yeah.
I don't think she's missed one bit since she's been in Judgment Day.
No. She is the group now.
I mean, you would, like, as much as Dom is there, Tie. And I guess if you've been paying attention to real life news this week, but yeah, I mean, I think you would put Rhea one, right? Like, as great as Dom has been, I think Priest has stepped his game up in the ring recently. I thought he's had really good matches. Finn is consistent. Finn is going to be Finn.
I think
Rhea for sure has elevated her game the most, and has taken over a leadership role, so to speak, even though, you know, Finn is the uncrowned leader of the group, if you want to put a leader on it. But
while we're on Judgment Day, what was your thoughts on the whole short-term alliance with the Bloodline?
For me,
was it something to do before the draft, or?
For me, I think with that, I look at it as a whole Monday and Friday, right? Mm-hmm. I think it was a way to add another layer to the story, but also set up Judgment Day into a feud with the LWO. So that way you have, you know, you elevate everybody by associating them with the Bloodline story, because anybody that gets put in the Bloodline storyline, whether it's short-term, long-term, is going to get elevated. But just a way to move on to something else with a logical way of getting there is how I look at it. Not just throw in a graphic up that says Almost versus Seth Rollins.
First time ever.
God, McMahon is back. McMahon is freaking back. That's up there on
my list. You know he's in the doghouse.
That's up there on my list for Jabroni of the Week is that.
Alrighty then. I saw
that. He found out what everybody else found out. Like, apparently I don't have to say in what match I get.
We could go off into the weeds on that right now, but I'm not going to. Like, we're going to stay positive right now, because that's something that is – and I think all of the social media stuff that I've seen after that match was announced, everybody had the same damn thought. Why? What's the purpose? Did I miss beef between Almost and Seth that is causing them to have a match? Like, was there a digital exclusive that didn't get posted to the WWE site where we missed a confrontation in the back? Like, you know, did Almost take his parking spot? You know, did he dump out his baby's milk and Seth couldn't feed the child and catering? I don't know what the hell happened. But apparently they're feuding, they're beefing, and they're having a match in Puerto Rico in 2 weeks.
Or
2 weeks.
Didn't they just do it with – who did Judgment Day fight last week? They fought Zane and Owens and Riddle?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the main event. But you seen the graphic first, and then you got the storyline. So maybe we'll get it this way. Because everybody's questioning, why are you putting these two together? And then they gave you the storyline on Raw.
So there was,
which I don't like that
story this week.
Yeah, I don't like how they rolled that one out.
So we got Rhea in general, Rhea in solo. Okay.
All right. Mine is, again, from last week that I was saying, Braun Breaker just interrupted anybody's storyline, and just that spear he gave the Odyssey Jones was some of the best stuff I've seen since Reigns gave Mysterio one all those years back in the Shield. I mean, just keep going through anybody's storylines, and I'm okay with it.
That's almost as good as those all-camera bro kicks that used to come.
that literally had me jump up, and I was Ric Flair, like, woo! It was dancing, was like, man, this is what I like.
And then, man, 2 weeks ago, jabroni. 2 weeks later, Mountain Rushmore. Yeah, I know.
And then, as soon as he got on that mic, boy, it sounded like his uncle.
He did. Off. He Tuesday night was the first time I heard him talk, and I go, "Oh, there's Scott Steiner."
Yes.
Like there's big.
Was he doing math?
Did not do math. Did not do math. I gotta knock him down a notch though, because like I don't know what type of cutoff turtleneck tank top he had on, but he needs to retire that bullshit because that was
Italy.
That was terrible.
That's a pretty deadly exclusive.
Yeah,
like are you hot or you cold?
And then he never cut, apparently. And then he cut it in even more, and it was just like, oh, this is trash.
Cut his fingers off anything.
Yeah, like how you alter a tank top to begin with? This dude altered a tank top, like. That'll took it to his tailor.
Wears every week now.
Yeah, took it to his tailor. Hey, instead of just like the straight down, can you give me like a little V angle? Like he was getting a temple fade. Like this dude. Braun Breaker. Okay. All right.
Interesting.
Do you think the way that they've been using Braun as far as, you know, interrupting people and everything else, do you think he gets involved in the match with Mello and Grayson? Or would you book him to get involved in the match with Mello and Grace?
I would. Just to ruin it. Not even for a title shot, just to ruin it. Just because you shouldn't have this match right now.
Nah, I don't want him involved with nothing with that title at all. I don't want to see him anywhere near it.
The draft happens before their next live special, right?
Yep.
So maybe he gets drafted up, comes back. Like I said last week, he gets involved. They do the triple threat at the live show, and that's his NXT swan song before he goes up to the main roster. Because I agree with you, Jason. Like, we don't need Mello and Grayson right now.
Mm-hmm.
So there has to be something. Like, you can't just have a clean finish in this match right now on Tuesday. Like, to me, there's no way that they book a clean finish. Something's going to happen. And that's the only, that's the only thing that I can think of that makes sense based on how Braun has been acting. So I don't know. We'll see. I thought the standout from Tuesday night was Julius Creed. Thought he absolutely stole the show.
You know what? That had Gallus in it, and it was totally
that match made me on.
Yeah, it was just total background noise. I mean,
those three teams don't do it for me at all. Not at all.
You know, there's all this talk about them breaking up tag teams on the main roster in the draft, like the Street Profits are gonna get split up and all this other stuff, and multiple teams gonna have shakeups and that. The Creed brothers are one where you look at them and you go, okay, Julius is definitely the star.
But I think they both are trying.
It's not where both get over and both succeed. Like, to me, Julius is the guy.
I can see that.
Mm-hmm. Now, whether or not it plays out that way, you know, like, you know, I think, you know, for example, like the Street Profits, Tez and Dawkins, I think both can succeed as singles. I think Tez has more of the star potential to be a guy, main event guy, mm-hmm. than you know, Dawkins. But I don't see Dawkins just completely falling off the wayside once the tag team splits up. Creed Brothers, on the other hand,
I
think Julius is the guy in Et Tu Brute just gets lost in the shuffle.
He's a Tucker to the Otis.
That's a little harsh, That's a little harsh to say he's the Tucker of Heavy Machinery, but
now with that NXT crowd, do you think it hurts them not moving around? Because you're getting the same people every week. Like, we love Braun right now. In the building, I'm not sure if it's coming off as, like, hate because he's a heel or hate because they're just over Braun.
Could be one of those things where they're just the crowd is just playing to what they're supposed to be playing to.
I mean, we had that with the original NXT, too, though, at points. Mm-hmm. Because it was the same. Hey, just because the name's Dumb Marks don't mean that we can't drop a smart dime every now and again, Taquan. Okay. I got multiple degrees over here. So don't, you know what I mean? I gotta use that college education that I paid thousands and thousands of dollars for at some point in time. Yeah, I don't know. The crowd. That's a good question. I don't know. I haven't really paid that much attention to see, like, if it's that big of a impact. No pun intended. With, you know, having the same people, because you had the same people in Full Sail week after week. Mm-hmm. Hell, Izzy's made an entire career out of just showing up to NXT week after week. Shout out to her. Like, so I mean it will be interesting to see and watch and pay attention as they move forward, depending on how long Braun is even down there for, because I think he's one of the ones that gets called up.
Seems logical for this one.
Yeah.
Chris, what do you got? Mount Rushmore.
I'm going pretty much AEW overall again. Just I enjoyed the show this week. I've been enjoying the product consistently for over the past month, but really enjoyed Jay White and Commander this week. Thought that was a great match, you know. So,
all right, pause. Hold on. Let's bring this up because Joey Janela had a question, and it's Joey Janela, but Joey Janela put out on Twitter, what's the difference between the Commander rope spot and the Undertaker rope spot? Because people were all over Commander for him doing the walk around the ropes into the dive on the outside that he does. And they just absolutely were destroying him for it. Which, it's the IWC, so yeah, go figure.
Everybody's got to find something to complain about. So.
Right. But, like, I thought it was a really good question from Janela. Like, what's the difference?
So what does he do? Does he hold the hand while he's walking around along the rope?
No, so that...
Or the one where he just runs across?
Yeah, the one he kind of runs with it more.
The person's on the outside. His opponent's on the outside.
Mm. Oh, he gets up on the corner,
walks across, comes over, hops, and does a dive onto the person on the outside. Where, Taker would, put a little arm wringer on you, grab the wrist, walk up, come across, jump off, and do the chop on the arm down, right? And Janela's point, like, well, what's the difference? Like, you guys weren't bashing Taker when he was doing that in the 90s, but all of a sudden, this dude does a variation of that and makes it his own, and it's a spot that he does in his matches, and you guys are killing him for it. So, like, what is the difference? Is it because he doesn't have the person actually tied to him in a way to where it looks believable? Does it look too set up? Is it too fake? Like, what is it? Because
I haven't seen any complaints on it, so I can't talk to, like, what people are complaining about with it. But
I see you said it.
Complain about it.
Yeah.
But
that's it.
I think the complaint is more people like waiting for the spot, I think. But I'm not sure how they played it off, like the time in between. Like if you're groggy waiting for it, but like if you see like the high flying spots, you'll see people actually just waiting for the spot, not doing anything, but just waiting. That's yeah, why that's not, a lot of criticism.
That could be a difference between the American audience and, you know, the Mexican audience of Lucha Libre, yeah. You know, because that's their matches. They're setting up spots, yeah. You know, within, mm-hmm. So.
But if somebody's out on outside of the ring playing groggy until the spot comes, feels like a totally different move.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how the spot was shot on TV this week because I was there. So don't know how they shot it to where they showed Jay White or what, or if they just kept the camera on Commander and had followed him the whole way until the dive. So like, I don't know how they shot it.
I don't remember the exact shot of it, so I'm not gonna.
Usually they followed him to the dive, so you don't see much of the person outside. So
yeah. But I mean, like,
we've done the hard cam too, like where it's just like the wide angle and you see him like walk the rope. I've seen that with him.
But... So now, I don't get the criticism.
No, I don't either.
So what's going to be interesting about it is because saw the criticism and the backlash for that. But Rampage tonight, you got Vikingo versus Jarlistico. I can't talk right now.
Jarlistico
for the AAA championship was okay. The main event, right?
Oh, is this the ref?
Full blown Lucha Libre style match, like 1,000%. This match was literally Mexico as Mexican wrestling can get in the United States. I'm really curious to see what people have to say about it, because if you're crapping all over Commander what he did in that spot or in that match with Jay White, you're going to absolutely hate this match.
I mean, people were complaining whenever Vikingo wrestled Omega on Dynamite, you know, how many weeks ago that was because of the spot setup, you know, and I don't know. I think people, if people watch the match, they probably will shit on it, unfortunately.
The match was amazing. Like,
yeah.
Seeing Vikingo live, Commander too, like watching them live, even Jarlistico, and I'm butchering his name right now, and I don't know why, but like watching them live and see what, like, how they use the ring as a canvas and what they're able to do from a moveset standpoint, like there was shit that happened, and I'm like, I have no idea how they pulled that off, like none at all.
One of the things that I loved about like Rey Fénix whenever he first came into AEW was you could tell he has ring placement, you know, like he knows where he's at in that ring at all times. Mm-hmm. And I will say the same thing about those two, like Kingo and Commander, because they know where they're going to be. They know their next three spots probably in their head, you know, before it happens, and just know how to set everything up. And I give them credit. They're amazing talents. I've been enjoying every match that I've watched of them.
And people crying about spots, but they stayed down for Hogan's leg drop. Okay. Okay.
Commander did get signed to AEW. The graphic popped up. He is signed to some Mexican promotion, and I've never heard of them before, and I don't even know how to pronounce the name, so I'm not going to try to. But they did allow him to sign with AEW.
Nice.
So whether or not he works both or what, but I really like the direction of AEW in the sense of adding the international talents to where you're getting more of the Baskin-Robbins flavor on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Which Wednesday night, I thought there was a lot of variety.
I agree. I've been enjoying it. I think it's been, like I said, for me, it's been over a month now. Could be even going on 2 months of consistent variety. And I've said weeks past, it's not that I'm enjoying every single thing on the show, but overall, I'm enjoying the show.
So what from Wednesday night didn't you like? If AEW as a whole was your Mount Rushmore for Dynamite, what parts of the show didn't you like?
I can see why people are bashing the whole Wardlow thing, you know, with Hobbs losing the belt so quickly and Wardlow getting it again. But at the same time, I didn't hate it, in the sense, because I'm least interested enough, because I like Wardlow and I like Hobbs, to see where this goes, if this develops anything further between the two of them.
Well, it don't look like it, because they got Lucius Horace on the top of the stage.
I mean, you give Wardlow give Hobbs 3 power bombs the way he did in the Powerbomb Symphony, that kind of felt like an ending too. But
not only the Powerbomb Symphony, but the I don't want to call it a pop up power bomb that he did, but like he caught Hobbs in the air for the mm-hmm. first power bomb before he went into the Symphony. Like those, watching those two big ass men, and look,
Taz gave the meaty men too.
You forget how big some of these guys actually are. Yeah. Right, like seeing Kaz live is insane. How big that dude is, like insane. Seeing what's the Singh from with Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett and that. Seeing him live, like legit standing next to the corner of the ring apron, he's halfway between the middle turnbuckle and the top turnbuckle, standing on the floor, like massive human being. Wardlow and Hobbs, even though Wardlow has the smallest calves in professional wrestling, and I get it, it's only an upper body business, as Christian Cage likes to say, but he is a massive human being. And Hobbs, like his whole body transformation from when he first started in AEW till now is ridiculous. Like, I don't know how it came across in TV, but live in the arena, those two beat the hell out of each other during that match. And I don't know if it came across that way or not.
It did. Yeah. No, I think it did.
Yeah, because they were giving it to each other live.
But it's also two talents I think everybody's kind of invested in as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that helps, you know, keep the attention span with it. But yeah, no, they beat the shit out of each other on Wednesday.
It was good until the whole QT and Arn Anderson thing started playing in the. Here we go.
Arn pulling the Glock out was one of the best parts of the night.
Coming out of nowhere in the back.
First off, shout out to Arn.
This is like, I haven't seen you since Cody.
Well, his one of his sons passed away, so he's been off dealing with that. So it was good to see him back.
You know, I hope it wasn't just a one night thing,
and I don't think it was. Like, Armed Anderson, there you go,
there's a shirt,
yeah. I mean, they didn't just throw him out there, like, Wardlow gave the reasons as to why he was calling him back up. Arn came out, touched on Tully being with Wardlow in the Pinnacle and learning from Tully. Say, hey, Tully made you the greatest checkers player in AEW, but now we're playing chess. Okay. Arn has been rumored to want to reestablish a Four Horsemen stable in AEW. Not necessarily call them the Four Horsemen, but he wants that type of stable. Okay. So if you're going to have Wardlow as one of the linchpins of that stable and you put Arn with him, not saying that Wardlow needs a mouthpiece, but somebody to help elevate him on the mic, then I'm okay with them doing that.
Hopefully if they establish that, it'll be better than it should be what the Pinnacle should have been and not what the Pinnacle was.
And the Pinnacle is one of those things that I had high hopes for. Yeah. Like that could be a what if game because that group had all the makings to be one of those factions where you look back 15 years from now and go, damn, they were legit. Like, and I feel like they just put them together to feud with the Inner Circle. Mm-hmm. And that was it. So, all right. So QT stuff. All right. What'd you think of the Britt, Adam Cole, Jericho segment? First off, shout out to Adam Cole for getting a Jagoff chant live on TV, not once but twice. I don't know if you could make out the word Jagoff that was being chanted on TV.
I didn't catch it being chanted.
Oh, yes. I caught it.
That's tremendous. For those of you that aren't from the Pittsburgh area, Jagoff is an asshole, which is our local term for it.
So. I like Cole posted something. He said, once you let your grief become anger, it will never go away. Never. I swear to God, I'm going to hurt you, Chris, and the pain you feel will never go away. So I kind of like the follow-up to that. And the segment itself, it kind of fell flat for me on watching it on TV. I felt like it just went on. It went on a little bit longer than it should have. Like they could have cut that back a bit. But
so whenever Britt was calling out for Cole, calling him Austin by his real name, I was like, yeah, this sounds like All Access.
And that's that. You can definitely, with her coming out, you can tell that's why they were doing it.
Yeah,
because you're seeing them together now, and
that's where I feel people were shitting on the segment, because it was like, all right, this is All Access and this isn't Dynamite. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need All Access on my Dynamite show.
This could be another Becky Seth.
Good old total Divas.
No, see, I don't think they'll get the backlash Becky and Seth got. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they'll turn on them like they did Ty whenever she came out with Sammy. Like Cole is mega babyface position wise. Mm-hmm. Like outside of the initial start to the show when Jungle Boy came out, that entire arena was doing the arms and the chant for Jungle Boy when his music hit to start the show. Cole got the loudest reaction, including Britt. Like he is mega babyface right now.
I mean, no pun intended on here, but they're kind of like the AW It couple. And it's like, I don't think people are going to turn on them the way they would have. Because we've at least seen in the past, we've seen them do stuff with Britt and Adam Cole. Even though we even said back then, I think that we didn't necessarily need to see them together on TV. But at least we've seen that established and said, where do we just kind of threw Becky and Seth together just one week? And it was like, oh, you're together? Here, just go on TV.
And they've been dating for so long now that everybody knows they're a real life couple.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But do couples ever last on TV?
Triple H and Stephanie.
They're hate.
Miz and Maurice are doing it, you know.
Yeah, Miz and Maurice.
You're hate.
Edge and Beth. Edge and Lita.
You're over that.
Edge and Beth.
It just all runs its course. You're just like, you know what, I'm over this. Unless they're heel. Babyface couples don't work.
So does everybody else think, because the way I felt after that segment on Wednesday was that we're going to get, you know, Adam and Britt versus Jericho and Saraya.
So Britt has done interviews and talked about the excitement for what they have planned with this Outcast story and where it's going potentially. Now, I don't know if things have changed, right? But she has talked about that before as far as like, hey, pay attention to this story because what we have to come is really good. At least, and she feels that wholeheartedly. So I'm not sure how having a mixed tag match throws into that story particularly.
I just thought, that's the way I felt coming out of it. And part of the reason why I thought, well, that's one way to protect Adam Cole, you know, as he's still getting acclimated back in the ring, you know, he doesn't need to go out there and have a full match, you know, can separate himself a little bit.
And I mean, if you're going to do it at Double or Nothing, they still have what, 5 weeks of TV before then? Like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to shit on that match being put on the card if that's what they decide to do with it. I mean, we've already seen Britt and Saraya. Would I rather see a mixed tag match versus just a straight up Jericho versus Cole match? I could be talked into it either way.
It fits Jericho's gimmick too as an entertainer. Mm-hmm. That's an entertaining type match, you know?
Yeah.
Sports entertainer match.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. We'll see if the audience turns at all on Britt and Cole, but I think they're so over as faces right now. And they've done a good job with turning Britt face. Jamie Hayter got a huge pop, and I like how they set it up. I like how they set it up to where she got injured. Don't know if it's legit or not, but she was injured in the match to where she didn't come out later on when they attacked Britt. So that made sense from a storytelling standpoint. So Yeah, we'll see. I'm optimistic to say I want to see where it goes. Whether or not I'll be happy with how it plays out, I don't know. But right now, I'm optimistic about it.
Okay.
Mount Rushmore for me, like I said, AEW was great. It was awesome. You know, I don't want to put the same Mount Rushmore up there as what Chris had. I was going to do Mount Rushmore for Steve Maclin and Deonna Purrazza, real life couple.
Another couple.
You know, who both won. Maclin won the Impact Heavyweight Championship and Deonna won the Knockouts Championship in a great match with Jordan Grace. But I'm going to give my Mount Rushmore to Nick Aldis. Mm-hmm. I think Aldis coming into Impact is a huge signing for them. I feel like he adds a thread of credibility
mm-hmm.
to that show. Not saying that they didn't have credibility before with, you know, the roster and individuals that they had. You know, I thought Josh Alexander was a great champion, did a great job. But there's just something about all this that's different, right? There's the different factor involved in his equation. I thought it was great, them signing him, coming in, you know, him on commentary this week. Followed up Thursday was a great show. And then him and Maclin on Twitter have been fantastic. Right? Like,
what they Maclin, have all this do on what on Thursday?
So they didn't have all this. He came out at the pay-per-view on commentary, announced that he signed. He came out to sit through the title match because he, you know what I mean. Thursday, Maclin came out, you know, the American war hero soldier. And, you know, bashing Canadians in Canada, calling out Scott D'Amore, everything else. And then Scott D'Amore issues PCO, who's quintessential Canadian, to be his first challenger. So we're getting a U.S. versus Canada feud right off the bat. And PCO is, I don't know how he does what he does.
Did they tape in the same building that they did the pay-per-view for Impact? That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like them. I like when they run that building.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I just like, I think Aldis just, he adds another layer to that entire company. And you may not be as high on him as I am, but I'm hoping that he can help elevate Impact up. I've enjoyed the 10 pounds of gold run that he had with the NWA title and bringing them back to relevancy and putting them back on the map. He gets it. From a business standpoint, from a show standpoint, a character standpoint. So I'm here to watch his run in Impact because it's a different version of Nick Aldis that was there originally. Like Maclin tweeted out a picture of him in his army gear in, I don't know if he was in Afghanistan or wherever he was, but something about to Aldis like, hey, when I was 21, I was doing this. You don't know pressure, yada, yada, yada. And Nick Aldis responded back and tweeted back, dot, 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 that's cute. When I was 21, I was wrestling Sting. And I was like, oh, this is great. Like, give me petty wrestling beef on Twitter and I'm here for it. Like, this is great.
I'm definitely interested in seeing where they go with this because I thought, you know, when I expected Maclin to win the title in that match on Sunday, and I was just like, all right, Maclin will be champ. You know, not sure if he'll be a placeholder or not, but, you know, Alexander will come back and should be able to get right back in that picture. So when Aldis came out, I was like, this adds something interesting to see where they're going to go with this
development. And shout out to Steve Maclin for going from future endeavor to person we didn't even think about to signing with Impact and working his way up the card to where he becomes a heavyweight champion. Like he's had great matches in Impact. Very underrated matches in Impact over the last year plus. So like I said, I like Impact's direction right now. You still have the Aldis Bully Ray angle if you want to go back to it for the way Bully was with Mickey, mm-hmm. with all that stuff. So you could, you know, you could teeter on that. Yeah, they're just they're set up right now. You know, Jordan Grace is a free agent. I don't know if she'll re-sign or not, or if she'll go elsewhere.
There was she on Thursday or was she off?
I don't think she was on Thursday. And I mean, she's made more money with her social medias than what she has with Impact. So she may not even want to re-sign and do wrestling anymore. No. Like, mm-hmm. She just won a bodybuilding competition.
Mm-hmm. She's been focused on that. So,
yeah. And, you know, which people were destroying her for and just saying, you know, using her as the quintessential steroid user. I'm like, yo, you do realize that bodybuilding is regulated and they get tested, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they do get
money. There's money to be made in that too. So she focuses on that. I wouldn't blame her for that either.
Yeah. But yeah, so I'm gonna go with Impact, especially with Nick Aldis. There's a lot of things that I wanted to put on there from AEW, like, you know, Vikingo and Jalisco were great. You know, but yeah, I'll go Impact. I'll go Macklin and Deonna as the couple, but Aldis being the upper echelon free agent signing coming in. And hopefully he does something to elevate that company more, because I keep saying it, you guys don't care, but stop sleeping on Impact Wrestling. So real quick, MLW standpoint, they have War Chamber and Hammerstone legitimately got hurt in the match.
I heard that.
To where they had to cut the finish and change stuff up. So
what happened?
I haven't heard anything else about it to know exactly what the injury is or time frame or what, but
what did he do? Like, did something to his ankle in one match last year?
That was the ankle. We saw that. Yeah. And he finished the match, which was ridiculous that he was even able to finish the match the way he did on that ankle injury, because that was nasty. But this was to the point where they had to cut and finish up. So not sure how that was supposed to play out, but prayers to Hammerstone. Hopefully he gets back up and running again soon. And Richard Holiday is a free agent.
Saw that too. That's interesting. I thought he was going to go right back into MLW, but
so
I'm kind of interested to seeing where he ends up now.
The most marketable is back on the market.
was Hammerstone a champion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is wrestling becoming too unsafe?
That's a great question, because
we have three champs out right now. Maybe more.
And – this is that's a great question based off of, you know, I don't know if you saw Will Ospreay's video that he put out this week on social media, but he talked about how his style and what he's done in the ring has shortened his career, and, you know, he doesn't have all the feeling back in his arm and his shoulder, but yet he's medically cleared. So because he's medically cleared, does he wrestle? He's lined up. He's booked for events. He doesn't know how much longer he's going to have. He just turned 30. Like, you know, we see it with Darby Allin with the shit. I mean, there were some bumps on Wednesday night. Like, Jungle Boy had a couple bumps that I was like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Guevara took the freaking top rope Canadian Destroyer that I was like, holy shit. Like, Wait till you see the bumps Vikingo takes if you watch Rampage tonight, because I don't know. I mean, I feel like we're getting to a point based on the style and moveset that it's only a matter of if and not when somebody gets majorly seriously hurt in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that'll cause the style to change. But right now, you know, it's the bar's raised to a level where people are so trying to one up each other that it's just bound to end in a disaster sooner or later. And I don't want to see that, but that's just where I think we're at right now.
And I don't know what Hammerstone's injury is. You know, we'll wait until we hear more on that. But dude's has an impressive physique for bodybuilding. So, I mean, that just doing that takes a toll on the body, too. And then add all the wrestling that you do on top of that. You know, you're doing two things to really wear down the body a bit.
Yeah, and his wasn't due to, you know, 6:30 off the top rope either. You know what I mean? Like, you know, injuries are going to happen. It's not ballet, as JR likes to say. But I, you know, you are looking right now at a stretch where, and we saw it this time last year with AEW going into the first Forbidden Door, where you had Punk, you had Danielson, you had Omega, like you had all these guys that you want to see on the card because of the event that it is for the first time ever, and they weren't there based on injuries. I don't think we can go back though. I think the toothpaste is out of the tube, so to speak.
I think you can find a happy medium.
Yeah, it doesn't mean there can't be
an enjoyable medium.
Yeah. They could try to regulate it like WWE with the pile driver.
I think you do have to recognize who you are and what you do. Like, I know FTR for the longest time got the flack of, well, no flips, just fists. But at the same time,
they're stout ones.
They don't need to do the flippy shit.
Like, and they still got injured, you know.
Right.
You know, whenever they're doing that style.
And I don't think every athletic, springy, gymnastic-esque wrestler needs to do flippy shit. Mm-mm. You know, like Ricochet is going to get hurt just from Braun Strowman throwing him in a ring. Like, I don't know what the hell that's. I don't know what the hell that spot was last night. But, and Ricochet just on Twitter he just followed up with, well, you know, he'd be throwing me, and it's like, no, we don't know like he'd be that. Throwing you, and he doesn't need to throw you like that.
That's living with Kale.
Yeah, like that's the same thing. Like,
has Ricochet been hurt?
Yeah, he's off for a bit. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he's been written off for injury and for no creative, but
okay. You just don't ever see like the in-ring gruesome stuff with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Because his knees are springs.
I mean, his springs are going to wear out at some point, though.
Yeah.
Well, though they will.
Like, he's the closest thing to a real life Gumby that I think I've seen in wrestling, the way his body bends and how he, like.
Yeah.
Like, there's definitely spots where I'm like, oh, he's dead. Like, there's no way he didn't break something there. And he gets right back up and does the next move. Like, all right. So, all right. That's Mount Rushmore this week. We've got Jabronis to run through real quick before we get into the game.
I'll kick it off. My Jabroni of the week was United Airlines because I almost didn't make it to California. I honestly didn't think I'd make it out of that at all.
Yeah, he did eat the spring mushroom. Absolutely.
It's a good reference. So on my plane from United Airlines from here to California, just was kind of like dozing off a little bit. Next thing I do is I feel the plane go up and to the right, and then the pilot just auto-corrected real fast and just landed flat. Me and the lady next to me, we looked at each other and go, like, what the hell was that? Like, I have never felt like turbulence is normal. I'm cool with that. As much as I fly, turbulence is fine. I can get through that. But I've never felt them like just tip different directions and then try to auto correct it as quick as possible. I don't know if that was the pilot's first flight ever, but I was just like, I've never experienced that. And then whenever we land, like he was like one of those people that just was like, okay, we're just gonna slam on the brakes as quick as possible. And it's like I felt like we were gonna like tailspin as quick as he slammed on the brakes. And they were and the flight attendant was just like, oh, it's a short runway. I was like, yeah, like if that was the only issue, I'd say okay, maybe it was a short runway. But so I was like, they need to put that pilot back in training course again. Like, first time flying United, might be the last time I fly United.
Somebody got done watching Top Gun Maverick.
You were thinking he was in an F-15 MiG and was going to do
it with the Dark Star.
All right, United Airlines, check. Yeah. Jabroni of the week on the list. Good.
All right. For me, the whole Waller Effect segment with Mello, yeah, that was terrible. It did absolutely nothing for me. It didn't just them just rhyming off a bunch of rap lyrics and that stuff, holding up a belt and holding up a golden shoe. Like, you know what? You couldn't, the Bron could have came out there and just cleaned all house with three. Would have made it more interesting.
I did like Melo's line of how he's going to throw the shoes up on the telephone wire. I did like that. Like, that was good. I like that one. But, you know, you had a one week build, literally a 1 week build. So I don't think there was much else they could have done to get me excited other than go out there and try to throw some insults and slings and darts at each other. It just didn't come across good. No. Jay?
Mine too was segments just as a whole. Like, they're just going on too. They're dragging too long. All of them, like Trish, drag too long. Mello, drag too long. You said stuff on AEW, drag too long. Like, unless it's Bloodline, I'm just like in and out.
And good for you for not being the Jabroni of the week.
This is the first time in 3 weeks he hasn't put himself on the list.
The pillar stuff felt a little long in the beginning.
Yeah, I saw people crapping all over that.
What do you guys think of that? We didn't get into that. What do you guys think of the tournament instead of like a four pillars match?
I like the tournament idea, but it's still going to lead to a four corners match, a fatal four way.
Whenever they announced the tournament, I was like, typical AEW going for a tournament. But from what happened in the main event, I think it's going to be a four-way.
Oh, and shout out to Sammy and MJF playing up this new best friends thing on Twitter online too. Did you see they showed pictures of them sharing their cats with each other? They had a cat date yesterday. Like,
Sammy did one. It was we didn't want to pay for our blue check marks on Twitter, so we each paid for each other's. And then Sammy was just like, MJF, if you're gonna pay me, right? Right?
It just feels like MJF manipulation over this whole thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It does.
But it's different than what he's done in the past. It's not him lining up a contender and have them run through, five different variations of something to get a title shot. Like,
just run through each other.
Pause. But no, there is with the ending, you know, the ending, the DQ finish, something will happen with Darby this coming week. That'll be another DQ finish, and then, you know, they'll announce something, but they got 5 weeks to kill. So I don't know where they go or how they get there, but I do think it'll be a fatal four-way at the pay-per-view.
Yeah. Cuz I was like, you just can't have like Jungle Boy lose in the beginning and not fight anybody, but yet in the opening segment have them run down on like each other. Mm-hmm. I was like, you can't have them run down on everybody and not fight each other. So that's wasted time.
My Jabroni of the week this week are the Jagoff that brought a beach ball to the event.
We still doing that?
That had it going around during the Vikingo Jurlistico main event of Rampage. And then the audience booing the security guard for grabbing the beach ball.
Y'all have come to my side?
Those two men in the ring didn't deserve that based on the match they were given. And the fact that you waited till that moment in time to pull that out and do that, you're a true Jagoff. And a Jabroni of the week. I don't know who you are. I didn't see you. I don't know, but you're the Jabroni of the week.
Beach ball mania. I guess Pusha T is your favorite rapper, huh?
Yeah, boy. That's something we can get into on a different episode, but let's see. So, all right, game time. What do we got?
All right. So, rumors lately are, you know, this upcoming week we have the WWE draft. Rumors are AEW is going to be adding another show and going to be doing their own draft soon. So before we get into the game, I wanted to read a quote and get your guys' thoughts on this too. So Eric Bischoff said on the potential AEW roster split, good luck. You deserve whatever you get. Turner, you're a freaking mess. You're not the company you used to be. And I picked that out because Bischoff himself wanted to do a roster split. That was the point of having an NWO show and a WCW show. It's just like, and you're going to sit there and say that you're blaming Turner too, whenever you were on the Turner network when you wanted to do this. It's like, makes no sense to me at all.
I think his, from listening to Bischoff's podcast and listening to him talk about the Nitro and Thunder thing and everything else, I think that's, you know, he never wanted Thunder. He was opposed to Thunder. He knew they couldn't pull off two shows and that it would eventually hurt them. And it did. And, you know, he has not been high on AEW at all recently. Him and TK have had beef, right? Like, and not saying that he's saying this from a place of good heartedness, but to me, I hear that and it's like, all right, well, you're making him put on another 2-hour show. Like you're killing whatever ratings, sponsorship, anything that you're getting from AEW as an entity in the Warner Brothers Turner discography, so to speak. You're killing it yourself by oversaturating the market with having them on for literally 5 hours a week, because the Saturday show is going to be from 8 to 10 on Saturday nights.
Saturday night. Yeah.
So.
When Friday night hasn't been a great time slot for them, you know, getting some people, but they haven't been, you know, setting the world on fire with ratings for their Friday night show with Rampage.
So you're going to go up against college football in the fall.
WWE pay-per-views.
UFC pay-per-views. UFC. Boxing pay-per-views.
Any legit boxing like tonight.
Just, yeah. You know, we've talked numerous times over the years on here about oversaturating the market with programming, and that's what they're going to do with AEW now, too.
And it's supposed to be the Punk show?
We'll see.
I won't be watching because he's coming back.
All right. So, again, with WWE draft coming up, if everybody in wrestling was a free agent right now and you were going to start a promotion tomorrow, give me your top five draft picks.
Top five?
Yeah.
Man, how long is this show?
Yeah, Jesus. We've already run over. We're coming up with top five.
Yeah.
So we're just giving five, or we going one a piece?
Is it?
No, he wants us top five.
No, I'm saying like we're going like first pick go around, second pick go around.
Well, why are we going, if we're doing an actual draft where we're picking, once that person's off the board, you can't select them.
They're gone.
I just wanted your top five.
Oh,
I think us doing an actual draft.
You want to do the dumb marks draft?
Yeah, I think us doing an actual draft right now would make it more entertaining, because once they're off the board, they're off the board.
Okay.
So it was your game, your idea. We're spicing it up a little bit. We'll let you have the first pick.
And the raw pick.
All right. Now, do we want to go? We go clockwise. So we'll go Chris, Donald, me, Jay.
That works.
All right. And are we doing five, or are we doing four, since there's four of us?
Let's do four.
All right.
Four rounds.
Is somebody writing these down so we know who's off the board? That's
right. Chris goes to the pen and paper.
I got it. All right. My number one is going to be Seth Rollins.
Shit.
Yeah. Seth. He's wrestling almost. Great first pick.
Yeah. Not his choice.
That's like reaching for Zach Wilson at number two. Good job.
Yeah, Donald.
Rainmaker.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Tribal Chief. Fell to three. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I'm getting the Tom Brady, the Peyton Manning, the Michael Jordan at three. This is Donald's Portland drafting Sam Bowie instead of Michael Jordan. This is great.
I have a country on lock already. young.
Rhea.
Jay's in the Indianapolis Colts spot. Wanted to trade up, but couldn't do it. Stuck taking Will Levis.
I'm going Oscar.
Hold on, who'd Jay take?
He took Rhea.
Oh, wow, Rhea. Okay. Chris, you took Oscar?
I'm taking Oscar.
This is gonna turn into the four of us picking a male, a female, a tag team, and then a wild card.
Offspray.
Offspray.
Okay. This is amazing. MJF.
Yeah. Cody.
Son of a bitch. I'm gonna go FTR.
You motherfucker.
Omega.
Mercedes Moné. I got Roman, I got MJF, and I got Mercedes. Y'all are in trouble, boy.
Give me Hangman.
Yeah. I think I'm just going to have to go with my boy, Bryan Danielson.
I thought you would have picked him third. You pulled FTR out of your ass.
Even Ty Kwan picked Eva Marie. Look at that.
I can have
her. Everything.
I'll go Bailey.
We'll do four in a wild card. How about that?
Okay.
Give me the Young Bucks.
Young Bucks.
Bianca.
Okay. Ooh, you got Rhea and Bianca.
Need people to feud.
Jay's the stardom of the he's the women's of wrestling draft over here.
I'm gonna go Josh Alexander.
You son of a bitch. God, FTR and Alexander, you're taking both. This is the wild card round, right?
Yeah.
Or is this the last pick?
This is the last pick total.
The last pick total. Give me the Usos.
Took them off the Island of Revelancy for Steve.
I got MJ. I got Roman, MJF, Mercedes, the Bucks. I want to be the Minnesota Vikings here and have my time expire on the clock to where I don't get to see it. Who else?
It's actually one that I'm expecting from him, and I'm surprised he hasn't got it yet.
And I guarantee you're going to say it, and I'm going to be mad if I don't pick it. Since we're doing wild card last pick, Joey Styles. I need somebody to be the voice of my promotion.
Okay.
Somebody to put the story, bring the story to life that's being told in a ring. So
that's definitely a wild card pick.
I was gonna go Lucha Bros, but I need somebody to bring it in when attendance is down. Give me John Cena.
So we got for mine Seth, Asuka, FTR, Brian Danielson, Josh Alexander. Donald has Okada, Offspray, Omega, Bayley, and the Usos. Steve came in with Roman, MJF, Mercedes Moné, the Young Bucks, and Joey Styles. And Jason has Rhea Ripley, Cody Rhodes, Hangman Adam Page, Bianca Belair, and John Cena.
We don't worry about tag team over here.
Four different styles of promotions, too.
So we're going to throw these four drafts up and put it, make sure the last. Yes. Make sure the last pick is known as a wild card pick, because people are like, Joey Styles, what the hell is this dude doing? He lost the draft.
Steve,
no, there's
a wild card. Steve, I was expecting Deonna from you.
That's what I was expecting too, what he said.
Taquan said Luigi Primo.
No, fuck, don't even read off the rest of his draft. Don't even read it off. I thought we got through an entire show where he didn't bring up that guy's name and he still brought it up.
He said his promotions bring it in. 10 mil a night.
That's on the spot drafting right there.
Yep.
Which is a little difficult to do. You know, I feel like I definitely did the wild card pick. As a true wild card. You guys just added on another wrestler or tag team promotion. Jay just snuck in Hangman out of nowhere. Otherwise, he's WWE through and through. Like, I don't know if he couldn't think of another WWE superstar or what.
He picked Dominic, you know?
Don't enjoy Dom enough to put him on your roster?
No.
Pro's going to be upset that we didn't draft CM Punk at all.
Who's that?
And
I only pick active fighters.
And I'm glad none of us went to, well, I guess you can say my last pick was a legends pick, so to speak, but nobody took like Rock, Stone Cold. Like, we all picked people that are active in wrestling today.
Yeah.
I had Goldberg on mine.
Just
because even the headlines lately.
You can book his last retirement. You just
fought at Mania.
Yeah.
You're lucky Cena just fought at Mania to be active.
Nobody took Brock. So they throw in the champion.
We don't want any part-timers in our roster.
Cruiserweight.
Hey, you do the X division, then you can do it.
Can we do trades off of our list?
That was a good one.
Who you want to trade?
I really want to trade the Bucks for FTR. But...
He wants Chris's old raw. He wants Chris's old ass.
And I don't have my wild card. I don't have a wild card to throw up to get Josh Alexander on my team, but. But I got arguably the three biggest draws in pro wrestling right now.
True.
MJF was on mine. Okada was my number two.
I knew Donald was going Okada right away. Like, I knew that was coming.
Clear to Japan.
Oh, man. Oh, man, my top three got like 1,000 stars between each other.
According to Dave Meltzer, right? Oh, man. All right. But yeah, no, we're going to throw these. We're going to throw the draft out order up there. See which one, you know, who won the draft.
Yeah.
Me, Jay, Mr. Donald. Whose promotion would you go see? Who would you start? You know, feel free.
No, the draft order, too.
you want me to do them in order?
In order. There was no compensation for the guy last. Steve
J.
I didn't get no compensatory picks.
And we didn't even do the snake draft like fantasy football. We went right back to Chris at one.
I didn't win no championship to pick last.
Jason's pick wasn't protected.
Blame Chris for how he got the squares up on the screen. Because all right. Well, that's it. Anybody got anything else? No? All right, Chris. You can – I don't know if you want to throw out your Hollywood rendition before we get into final thoughts. But
We can just – appreciate you guys tuning in to episode 132 of the Dumb Marks Podcast. Make sure that you head over to our social media page at Dumb Marks Pod. Like us, subscribe, share, comment, all of it. See, send us home with the quote of the week.
Gotta plug the merch.
Love
that.
All right, this week's quote of the week here. It has more to do with me personally. I don't know what Taquan put because I can't see the damn chat, but I know he put something up there. All right. So this week's quote of the week is, worry is a total waste of time. It doesn't change anything. All it does is steal your joy and keep you very busy doing nothing. Worry is a total waste of time. It doesn't change anything. All it does is steal your joy and keep you very busy doing nothing. So with that, thanks for tuning in each and every single Saturday. We love you guys. Appreciations. And until next time, I'm a Mark. You're a Mark Telemark. Y'all can catch us around the way.